Tamaki in the house alongside John Lucan. John, what's happening?
What up?
So, by the way, before we start the show, I ran into someone earlier this week and was like, you know, sometimes you guys get a little goofy with the sports. And, yeah, that's what we do. If I have to start taking sports seriously in this political climate, I'm not going to do the show anymore. Me and Derek Isumaki in particular don't take very much in life serious, particularly not our sports.
Yeah, yeah, very much.
So, I invite you, if you want serious sports talk, to go to ESPN Radio or one of the many other national stations that discuss sports. If you want to hear some local flavor, want to hear three guys have a really good time and kick around some funny ideas about sports, you're tuned into the right place. FM 90.1 KZFR, talking about practice, coming up right now.
We talking about practice. Not a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up. We just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that, man? We're talking about practice. We're talking about practice, man.
Yes, indeed, we are talking about practice. I am Jarrell Gelbert. Alongside me, Derek Isumaki, John Lucan, as always. Thanks for tuning in, everybody.
What's up, everybody?
Hello.
Thanks, guys.
So we got a big show for you guys. We got to get into round two and all the happenings and some of the kerfuffles around the league.
That's nice. A big word right there.
We'll get into that in a little bit. We'll get into Derek's favorite topic, LeVar Ball.
Oh, yeah.
And the big baller brand. Also, we want to, we'll update you guys on some playoff hockey.
Hockey?
Your home for hockey, FM 90.1 KZFR.
We talk hockey here?
We might talk baseball. We might talk some other stuff. But we're for sure going to talk some NBA hoop. So let's start there. We're in the middle of round two. Well, for most teams, not for Toronto.
Yeah, sorry. That was quick.
Like, show up, Toronto.
Yeah. So Toronto's up out of there. The Jazz will soon be up out of there. If not tonight, I would imagine very, very, very soon. The Warriors with the 3-0 lead, and that game tips off, I believe, at 6:30 this evening. And but other than that, we got a couple good series. The Rockets, Spurs, once again tied 2-2.
I feel like they're good series, but they aren't like good games. You know, like they're not the games. Some of them are okay, but like a lot of them have just been blowouts. You know, like if you're at home for the most part, if you're a Boston or Washington game, that's your winning.
But Boston Washington, I feel like, is the most enticing series to watch thus far.
It's fun to see Isaiah Thomas and John Wall like go at it with each other right now, and Kelly Olynyk get a nice little, he gets stiff out there,
nice,
you know,
body check.
With his screens and whatnot, you know. So I loved how Draymond Green came out and said that Kelly Olynyk's a dirty player, and I was like, okay, that's some pots calling kettles black over here, but okay, we'll go for it, man.
Yeah, that was interesting. I will disagree that, yes, the playoffs overall haven't been that good, but that game two in Boston was crazy.
Like I say, there have been good games. It just hasn't been, there have been good series. The series are, field of numbers
I
are
feel
showing
like the
up.
Games
as,
are good up until a point, and then it just, and then like the last Wizards Celtics game, they had, what, 26 or 28?
26
on 26-01. Yeah, that's,
I mean, so it's like they go on these runs in the third or fourth, and it's like, all right, game's over. But like before that, it's always back and forth. But what I just realized, talking about Olynyk, when the dirty player, that was the same guy that messed up
Kevin Love's
shoulder.
Popped his shoulder out of place. A lot of people have called Kelly Olynyk the dirtiest player in the league, so this is nothing new.
Yeah, it's nothing new, but I mean, to say he's the dirtiest player in the league, I mean, he hasn't been kicking guys in the nuts for, you know, that hasn't quite happened yet. I feel like popping guys' shoulders out and, you know, hip-checking them or whatnot, is not as bad as hitting guys in that Nether region.
I don't know, because those other guys, they didn't miss any time. Where Kevin Love missed the entire rest of the playoffs.
Get stronger shoulders, dog. I was going to say, man, do them shoulder presses. Come on, K-Love. You know, you shoot them threes. You need that shoulder strength.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh yeah. I'm just saying. I mean, I don't think he's trying to. But I'm just saying when you're going out.
Separated his shoulder.
I don't think what he was trying to do. He was trying to like separate his shoulder. I mean, again, I'm on the mind of Kelly Olynyk here, and none of us are. But
he was trying to massage it.
Yeah. Right. He was deep tissue stuff. You know.
He's trying to see how flexible Kevin Love was. Yeah. That's what that was. No, but I do think those two series are at least interesting and are compelling to some level. I think. Overall, we're all just waiting for the Cavs and Warriors to meet in the finals. I don't think it's really a matter of if; it's more of a matter of how is that going to look. Are they
right?
Because now we're looking at it. Obviously, the Cavs have swept through the first and second round. The Warriors are 48 minutes away from doing the same. These teams look to be on a collision course, and this is of no surprise to anyone. Who
called it from day one, man. That's what I've been saying.
You're the only one.
Only one, man. I don't know why everyone doubted me.
Way ahead of that one. Yeah. You and Brian Windhorst.
Yeah, God, how did you guys know?
We talk on the regular side combos, you know.
But I do think that these other two series are at least compelling and will be interesting. The Rockets and Spurs series going back and forth after Kawhi just steps up time and time again. LaMarcus Aldridge, from time to time, helps him out.
Yeah,
but
I feel like he's starting to show.
Yeah.
His old self a little bit.
A little bit. He started to play well in the last couple games. But overall, it's just been a fun series back and forth. None of the games have been close, though.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the series is entertaining. And when you look at it as, like, you know, as a whole.
Right.
You have them going back. But like I said, the games, it's like one team is just figures out the other one. Like, they make their adjustments the next game. And then the other team's, like, makes adjustments for that game. And, you know, it's like a...
Yeah, I feel like the Warriors are just crossing their fingers, hoping that it goes as long as possible, because it looks like the Celtics-Wizards is going to go to Game 7.
Yeah.
So you got to think.
It's going at least, both series are at least going 6.
The Cavs are
going
to get that much rest. You would want Warriors hopefully wanting that much rest as well going into that series.
Yeah, you would think tonight the Warriors will finish business. You think a veteran team like that, they realize the value of rest. There is no need to bring these guys back for another night of suffering.
I mean, plus they have some guys who are still trying to get back on the court, like, you know, not back on the court, but health-wise with Barnes and Livingston as well, who are key players in their...
Absolutely.
What they need to do.
Yeah, and they need to give those guys, like we're all agreeing here, they need to give those guys some time because those teams are prepping for a championship run. They're not prepping just to... win tonight and hope to advance. These teams have much bigger goals in mind. And again, we've kind of seen this from since the last season ended, since Game 7 ended last year. I think most basketball pundits and people around the sport, I think damn near everyone just predicted that this is how this season would end, with these two teams on a collision course. And clearly that's not guaranteed at this point, but we're getting closer and closer to that being a reality. So, I don't know. But before we get to that, I do want to talk a little bit more about this Boston and Washington series. I think it's interesting that I heard a lot of pundits talking about how they thought that Washington had solved the Isaiah Thomas problem after his, you know, poor performance in Game 3. And then he came out and balled out last night. And if it wasn't for that pesky little 26-0 run, we could have had a really good game. But I was wondering what you guys think about that. Do you think that anything... Did you guys watch the game first and foremost?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Derek?
Yeah. Yeah. We'll say I did. We'll just say I did.
He saw the highlights.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
He was probably working and was just looking up at TVs.
I got every once in a while a glance at it. Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. So basically, Isaiah Thomas started off on fire. I believe he had 17 in the first quarter or something like that. Just went absolutely nuts in the first quarter. And then that dreadful third quarter is when they gave up that 26-0 run. And that was the game pretty much. But I do find it interesting that some of these teams decide to wait till Game 3 or Game 4 to make these massive adjustments. And it's like you have a whole season of tape on these guys. Why don't you implement those adjustments prior to the series starting?
Maybe it's like they try to, but they don't really realize they need it until they actually play the guy. I'm like, oh, He was right. Yeah, I should have done what he said. Makes sense.
That's what I don't get. I mean, you look at Isaiah Thomas in the fourth quarter, and everyone's talking about how phenomenal he is in the fourth quarter, and yet no one. It seems it's like fourth quarter comes around, I'm just double teaming Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah,
that's all I'm doing. And if you're gonna let Olynyk and all these guys go for 30, then all right, then you
cool.
can beat us.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really all you need to do for the Celtics. If you shut down him, you're hoping, I mean, you're going to make the other team shoot, make the other players shoot. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've proven that they can, but that's tough all the time for seven games. Can you do that?
Yeah. Last night, the Celtics-Wizards game two nights ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing the start that Isaiah Thomas got to, but if you look, he finished with like 19 or 21. So in the second half, he was just nowhere. You know what I mean? So it's like you gotta be able to fix that and find. I mean, whether it be Bradley or Horford, someone else is gonna kind of have to step up and take that one step away from Isaiah Thomas on a second defender.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how this series is gonna turn out. What I do know is the winner gets the Cavs in the next round. And I really think you could put LeBron on anyone in the East, and they would go to the finals at this point. I don't know if you heard DeMar DeRozan's comments after the game yesterday. Did you guys hear that?
Yeah.
When he's talking about LeBron's even faster and quicker than he was a year ago, which makes no sense because LeBron's only a month older than me. And let me tell you, at this age, your body really starts to betray you. So what he's doing, I don't know. I'm not going to speculate on. But
I mean, this is coming from a guy who doesn't work out nearly like a third of the if you were to take LeBron James the time that he works out, and you probably could even match that with like your hands. You can't even, you know, no matter how many times you work out, is nothing compared. I don't know what I'm trying to say is
I think you do not work out nearly as much as
LeBron James.
There it is.
Yes, that's all I needed to say. Yeah,
that was a real roundabout way of getting there.
400 words.
My God. Yes, that's. I think that would be pretty obvious. I think that statement could be made about 99.9% of Americans.
Yeah, so to compare your body to LeBron James's body is completely asinine.
I don't think that's the comparison I was making, buddy.
You were trying to say that because he's a month older than you, that you guys should be, your body betrays you. Your body, you just said it. Your body's betray you at 31. Your body is not the same body as LeBron James.
Right, but in the NBA, I mean, we're comparing LeBron James to other professional athletes.
Right.
He was comparing LeBron James to himself, and I was saying that's an asinine comment right there.
Let's get stuck there.
Let's keep going down that route.
Are you done?
Grind your gears is going to be fun.
Yeah, you grind your gears is at the end of the show. Like, couldn't we just?
I'm not saying it grinds my gears. I'm just simply stating.
Yeah.
Moving on. LeBron, what he's doing is really impressive, is the point I'm trying to make. And the greater point is, at his age, at 32, after being in the NBA for 14 whole seasons, what he's doing is impressive. I'm saying the only comparison I have is the age, as we are very
similar.
I thought
we were moving on from this. Yet he brings it back up again. Gosh. Let's move on, dude. God. This man
over here. Guys. That's why I'm here. Back to sports.
LeBron's really good. In fact, he's so good that let's go through some numbers, and maybe Derek, if you just want to step out of the room for a little while, so we can get back to the program. The Cavs are 16-0 in the first and second round games in the last two seasons. LeBron has 31 series victories compared to Michael Jordan, who had 30 total. LeBron's playoff record as far as series goes, or no, playoff record overall, 31-8. Series 31-8, MJ 30-17. LeBron did that in 14 seasons, MJ in 15. Jordan was knocked out of the first round series three straight years. Two of those teams were led by Bird Celtics, and he was swept there. LeBron's never lost in the first round, and the only time he was swept was when he took that that Cavs team to the finals against the Spurs. And I think Larry Hughes and Mo Williams were big contributors on that team. So that tells you everything you need to know there. LeBron leads all players with 11 series sweeps. So the point I'm trying to make, I do not want to go down "is LeBron better than Jordan" rabbit hole. I don't find that conversation interesting. What I do find interesting, though, is just how the narrative changes, because I was too young to remember this, so you guys were definitely too young to remember this, but Jordan, from what I understand, used to get a lot of the same narrative that LeBron had when he was in Miami, when he was in losing against J.J. Barea in Dallas, that he's not a winner, that he can't win the big game, so on and so forth. And it's just funny how the narrative changes over time. LeBron now, this will be, if they make it, his, what, seventh straight trip, I believe, to the finals? Yeah.
Yeah.
Seventh straight trip, I'm pretty sure.
It might even be eight.
I think it was...
Was it seven last year?
This would be seven. No, because it was four in a row with Miami, and then the last two seasons he went with Cleveland.
Yeah.
Okay. So this would be year seven. And it's just... A couple interesting things there. Again, I don't want to compare Michael Jordan and LeBron. Other than this comparison, as far as just looking at their playoff records, it's pretty identical. Aside from all you mathletes out there that are really good at counting six versus three, but I think the NBA is just so fortunate to have a player like LeBron who's been this great, this excellent on the court, and then off the court, like, what are his real transgressions? He had a TV show to announce he was moving to Miami, and what? I mean,
I think maybe one of his security got into a fight outside of a nightclub, like, early in his career.
Yeah.
Like, that's very reaching back for, I think one of his security guards did something. Yeah, yeah.
But so, that's
yeah,
the
he's
point.
Nothing. Yeah, he's done nothing. You can't speak any ill will of the guy off.
But
the board,
I mean,
really.
Neither did Jordan. I mean, Jordan's a
well. I mean, there wasn't social media 2K. Around. That's the only difference.
Giant gambler, I guess.
I mean, maybe LeBron James is really good at just keeping it covered up right now. Because I mean, not to say that Jordan was in some way like a degenerate of some nature, but he wasn't like you know your most stand up guy when it was coming off that you know. And LeBron James, not to say he's. You know, again, his transgressions, we haven't really seen any of them, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he hasn't been caught up in any major way. Like we see with Carmelo currently dealing with a separation from his wife because a dancer is allegedly pregnant with Carmelo's baby. I mean, you see this all the time. I mean, I just think the NBA is so fortunate to not, and we as fans are fortunate to watch a guy this good and then not have to hear like the off the field stuff or off the court stuff we hear with him is what he's being passive aggressive on Twitter again.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it is the most like dainty stuff that he does out there, but yeah.
I can see it being annoying.
But that's all it is. It's just a nuisance or anything.
Yeah. I think it's immature if anything, but it's not damaging. He's not, you know, he's not a thug. He's not out there getting in trouble with the law. He's not out there with multiple baby mamas or anything like that we know of. So it's just, I don't know. I find it interesting. I think I said it last week, but I think LeBron is still underrated for all that he is. And I think the only thing that is going to really serve his legacy, if we could say that, his legacy justice is after he retires, and then we look back and we look at the numbers in context. Right. But I don't know if any superstars, and this is going to lead me to the Warriors, do any superstars these days, is anyone universally loved anymore? Like Michael Jordan? Because I really don't think so.
I mean, to say... Yeah. Universal. There's always going to be some haters out there.
Yeah, but okay.
I'm saying
a vast, vast majority of people will say Michael Jordan is the greatest player, and they love Michael Jordan, right? The vast majority of people.
I think there are still superstar athletes out there, like
maybe like.
I mean, you can say like look at soccer, somebody like Messi or you know Ronaldo or something like that.
Can you do it in the States though? And I know a lot of people who hate Ronaldo.
Yeah, no, and that's Messi probably is more of a factor out there. I mean, you're always going to people.
I think that's a good one.
Yeah. Let's see, who statewide would have to be like still going on right now, like still active, or
just
I would like to say still active because I think so much has changed with access to players, social media. So I don't think that I think there was probably a good amount of disdain for Jordan. When he was doing his thing, probably, but there wasn't the social media to cover it, to share your voice.
I think one guy that really hit that, granted he's not active anymore, was Tiger Woods. He kind of hit that thing where like pretty much everyone was just enthralled by what he was doing on the golf course. You know, he kind of then he had a really bad PR incident, and that kind of all went away. But,
yeah, I'm just trying to think of someone who was such an ambassador, like, again, going back to Jordan, but where he was kind of universally loved on and off the court. Because, I mean, we were consuming everything Jordan, you know? I mean,
yeah.
And he had all the spots with McDonald's and all that. I don't think Tigers ever had that type of commercial appeal. I think a lot of people thought he was corny. And
Well, I guess one thing, too, is like Jordan has ability to reach a bigger age demographic than Tiger Woods does. Because, let's face it, most kids aren't really into golf as they are into basketball.
Sure.
And so that's one thing that, you know, I'm not going to put Tiger Woods in a McDonald's commercial because Michael Jordan is much more of a familiar face to these children.
Sure.
But, yeah, I mean, I can't think of anyone really in the States-wise that has hit that like level of fame where, like, almost like the magic presence or something like that. You know, mm-hmm. There's no one really like that anymore. I mean, LeBron James is, I think, probably your closest thing. Maybe Tom Brady, but Tom Brady has a lot of people who hate him too.
Yeah, I think.
I mean, Peyton Manning maybe have been up there. It's like one guy that pretty much everyone loves. He has good off the field stuff. His Papa John commercials were cheesy, but he had his good stints on like SNL and whatnot. You know,
yeah,
he was a good actor.
Yeah, I think there was a time where Peyton Manning was pretty well accepted, but I think now, especially later in his career, with the Papa John's commercials, people really started to turn on him and yeah. really get over him. And then
the whole nationwide thing when he did that.
Chicken parm.
Yeah, it's so stupid.
Yeah, I think he really started to kind of lose some luster there. And it doesn't help, too, when your body begins to betray you and you don't put up the numbers and you don't look like the player we remember either. When, you know, you'll remember Jordan was still balling out when he was 40. And I think he still averaged like 25 points a game or something crazy. But, you know,
I was not to mention, too, like when you have to look at universal acceptance and stuff, football doesn't have a very big international claim, you know, as does like baseball or anything. Basketball does, though. Internationally, there's a huge population. China is enthralled with everything basketball.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Like Stephon Marbury is like a huge star in China still.
Yeah,
like,
that's a really good solid point. Know? Yeah. I can't argue that. That's a really good point. Basketball and soccer are the only two sports I think you could really look at that
as an international fandom.
Like you can have an American athlete be stars internationally only in those two sports, really. Like I think, you know, in countries that accept, you know, football and enjoy American football, sure Tom Brady would be a star there.
Yeah.
But I just think based on popularity, basketball and soccer obviously are much more international sports. So anyway, yeah, I just thought that was interesting to kind of think about where LeBron sits in the grand scheme of things, because a lot of people I know cannot stand the guy. I'm pretty sure, and Jake hit us up if I'm wrong here, but I'm pretty sure Jake Sprecher hates LeBron, which is fine. I find it interesting because I don't think LeBron does a lot in the way of deserving hate. I definitely could see people get annoyed with him. I do myself with the passive aggressiveness and all that. But anyway,
hate's a strong way to go for someone just being passive aggressive. I feel it's a hate. It's a strong emotion for someone.
Annoyed is a good level of intensity. You can have a little.
Oh, whoa.
That was aggressive.
That was aggressive.
That was annoying,
All right, so maybe people don't hate him, but really dislike the guy.
I'm sure there are people that would say they hate him, though. Yeah, because like I said, haterade is a powerful substance. I know it. I drink it every day.
I want to get into kind of a cool story that John sent me the other day. But before that we do that, John, do you have time to kind of update the NHL playoffs? Because me and Derek haven't done a very good job of following any of that.
Yeah. It's been awful.
So, I mean, I'm maybe a tier up from you guys, so it's not...
That's all we're looking for.
Not
we just
much,
want someone that knows a little bit more than us.
But yeah, Oilers last night, thanks to Derek's research, Oilers last night tied up the series, and we're at 3-3 with that one.
Against
the Anaheim Ducks.
Okay.
Oilers
and game
won.
Seven's tomorrow?
Game seven's tomorrow.
Wednesday
in Anaheim.
I'm sorry, ever since the Ducks changed their uniforms from the old school jerseys, I've hated them.
Why did you do that?
Those uniforms were dope back then.
They lost 7-1, so it really came out with that.
There you go.
They were wearing those orange jerseys too.
That's
so.
What you get. Bring back the Mighty Ducks, y'all.
Caps and Penguins are actually going on right now. That series is at 3-2. Penguins leads that series. So the Caps really need to
Didn't Sidney Crosby get another concussion?
He did, yeah. He was out for a couple games. He's probably going to be out for the remainder of this
series. That's rough, man.
Probably will come back for the finals, though. So
he's taking so many shots to the head, man.
Yeah.
It's good it was for him. It was really a freak play. It was, you know, kind of fell out on a skate and kind of stick went into his head right at the most unopportune time. So hopefully he gets better, because that'll make that series a lot better. But the Capitals are up in that game right now 2-0. So hopefully that stays that way and we'll see a game 7. And then Rangers play tomorrow, play the Senators tomorrow, and that series is at 3-2 for the Rangers. So hopefully the Rangers can close that out, and then they'll face Capitals or Penguins. So
and the Predators are in, Nashville Predators are in from the West,
yeah,
right?
The biggest of all, yeah. So the Predators beat the Blues last night 3-1.
Okay.
And they advanced for the first time in Nashville Predator team history to their conference finals. So
right on Predators.
Look out for them, yeah.
I didn't realize Tennessee and hockey. All right.
Yeah, apparently it's a really big deal out there. I mean, the stadium's right there, right in the downtown area. So
that's cool.
Is it really? Okay.
Yeah, so it's a
That always makes a big difference.
Yeah, and Carrie Underwood's married to one of the
guys. Oh, is she? Okay, there you go. All right, it's a perfect match.
She's singing at a bar while he's scoring goals. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you do have a stadium that's right in the heart of downtown where it's easy accessible to people, he'll come.
Yeah, for example, Houston, the Toyota Center is right in the heart of downtown. In fact, they have a practice facility where you could just walk by and see the guys practicing. Now, sometimes, you know, they have automatic blinds that come down if they're doing strategy. But when they're doing shoot around and stuff like that, you could just go and stand outside and watch the guys practice, which is pretty cool.
That's dope.
Yeah, and it's right in the heart of downtown. Also, Minute Maid Ballpark, where the Astros play, is like right there, too. I mean, you could see in the background, you could see the, you know, other skyscrapers.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
A bar right across the street from where you're playing, people will come.
No doubt. Me up.
Yeah. Field of Dreams status. If they build it, we will come, guys. I'm just saying.
Yeah. So, to all of you building new stadiums, build them right in the heart of downtown. Make the traffic terrible. Make everything about you. That's basically what I'm saying here. Make it all about your professional franchise.
Make the locals that have lived there for years hate that team.
Yeah, gentrify the area so you can build a stadium right there.
All right, so I want to touch on this real quick.
Yes.
I don't really want to get into it too much because it's kind of a sensitive subject. But just an update on the Giants game. They were up 2-0. I blinked, and they are tied 2-2.
Yeah, sounds about
bottom of the fifth with a runner on second and third. So
let's talk about this for a second.
It's really hard for me to talk about it right now.
I can hear the pain in your voice.
Man, nightmares.
See, for me, I don't really get wrapped up in baseball till like July, mid-July. I'm pretty locked in on NBA playoffs in my own life right now. So don't get that worked up about it. You could ask Derek. This has been kind of my MO for the last few years.
It is.
But you seem like this is really like...
Well, I mean, for Giants, especially Giants fans, we're used to the torture lifestyle.
Sure.
You know what I mean? We're used to that,
that
grind it out kind of play. But like you said, we're used to that in July, August, September. You know what I mean?
Right.
Right now is just...
It's brutal.
It's brutal, man. So, we don't have Bumgarner, which is arguably our best pitcher and our best power hitter. You know,
yeah, I would say
our bullpen is like a little league major squad.
He is our best power hitter.
I mean,
that's sad. He really is.
It's getting to a point where it's like if we don't turn it around, we could be done by the All-Star break.
Yeah, which there's no worse way to spend a summer than your team being out of it come mid-July.
Yeah.
And then there's just, because there's nothing else for the sports fan. There's nothing else. Football doesn't start till September. College football starts last weekend of August or something like that, or Labor Day weekend. So you're just stuck for 2.5 months. And if it's a summer with no World Cup or no Olympics, it's a wrap, dude.
Yeah.
You just basically hate life for 2.5 months there.
Especially here in Chico, where it's just, you know,
it's scorching.
Melting hot. Yeah. At least you can make it down to the game or something. That is one thing I will say. Even when the Giants, you guys aren't that good, you guys still show up to your games.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah.
The fan base is great there. And even before
we started winning,
the Giants always had a good draw.
Again.
Since moving to AT&T Park.
Yeah, I was going to say, your guys' stadium is perfect. Right in the heart of downtown.
Yeah.
Easy to get to. I can walk from your, you know, you can walk.
Yeah.
Tic-tac, yeah.
Candlestick was a little sketchy, let's be honest.
Well, yeah, you had to drive through Hunter's Point on the way out. Matter of fact, let's stay there for a second. Before we do that, FM 90.1 KZFR broadcasting live and direct from downtown Chico, California. We are people-powered community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Talking About Practice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Gale Vineyards, a secluded boutique winery that is just south of Chico and Durham. Gale Vineyards is inspired by old-world winemaking to produce well-balanced wines that are sold at their peak of flavor. The Gale Vineyards Tasting Room is open Saturdays and Sundays from noon till 5. For more information, visit galevineyards.com. So I wanted to get into that story just real quick about Hunter's Point and just having to go through there after games. So, yes, definitely sketchy, especially leaving a Giants 7:30 or 7:15 first pitch start. Because you're not getting out of the stadium until 10:15. The traffic was horrible, and Hunter's Point gets real, real sketchy. And Derek, I know you have your news here.
Yeah, in a second. No. Keep doing your thing.
But I went to go see a Niners-Raiders game with a couple of my buddies and my ex-girlfriend. She was a Raiders fan. I was a Niners fan. And so we're leaving, and it took us hours to get out of the parking lot. For all of you who remember Candlestick, you remember the hell it was getting out of there. And we're leaving. And we're going through Hunter's Point, and on the left-hand side, we see this group of guys talking to this other group of guys. Now, there are four lanes to my left, and then, because it was like four, it's not a highway, but it's a really big, like, what would you call it?
I've never been there, so I have no idea what you're talking
anyway,
about.
Anyway, so there's four lanes coming this way, four lanes, we're, you know, whatever. It's a big...
Street?
Big street, very large street is what I'm talking about. It's a thoroughway?
Thoroughway? Thoroughfare? Look it up. I'm pretty sure.
It was a four-lane street.
Stimulating radio guy.
Yes, yes. Let's argue over this for a little longer. Anyway, there's this group of guys to our left, and these two guys in a really nice car, an Lexus right in front of us. So they are four lanes away from where these guys hanging out at this corner store are. And somehow they start talking trash to each other. And this guy runs out of the back of the store and throws a half-full Corona bottle. And I'm telling you, there's been few times I've seen someone have a more accurate pass than this. Goes over four lanes, goes over our car, and across the street and smashes into the back of this car. Next thing you know, the two dudes in the car get out. And you are seeing guys from every corner start to flood the streets.
It's like the movie Warriors.
It was insane. And these two dudes that got out of the car knocked out, I'm not joking, eight dudes before people started getting on top of them. And everyone in my car wanted to stay and watch what was happening. Meanwhile, I skirted the hell out of there. But that was Hunter's Point.
I am black right now. I will be blamed for this in some way. Yeah. I'm going to leave.
So I got the hell out of there, but that was Hunter's Point. That's Hunter's Point, y'all. Mm. So anyway, Derek, news.
News, guys, yes. We do have some news for you this weekend that did happen from, I meant to say, shout out to the Chico State track and field team that was running this past weekend. They got themselves the women recorded their eighth straight California Collegiate Athletic Association track and field championship.
Woo!
They secured the victory by beating out San Francisco State and Humboldt State with 198 points.
Take that, Humboldt.
Right? No chance on there. So shout out to the female track and field athletes out there.
Job, ladies.
And to the men as well, who won their 13th championship in 14 years. So
yeah,
Chico State track and field is rather dominant, if you didn't know that already.
Nice.
I actually had a chance to come here to run for them. Unfortunately, your boy blew out his hip and can't run anymore. But hey, that's sad stories over there. So the Chico State, they are on to bigger and better things now as they go on to the Nationals at this point in time. So congrats to them and hope their season continues on as best you can. Now, continuing the running theme right now, I have to give a big shout out to Eliud Kipchoge. He is the reigning Olympic marathon winner.
Of course.
He just recently participated in the Milan Marathon, where he was trying to break the two-hour marathon, which is a feat that has never been done before. But he came 20 seconds short of doing that. Yes.
That's a bad beat.
It is a really bad beat for him. However, 2 hours and 25 seconds for a marathon is the fastest ever by any human being. For 26.2 miles, guys, in 2 hours and 25 seconds. That's
still
ridiculous.
Still a loser to me.
If you ain't first or last.
Right. But he did have, Nike was doing a big Breaking 2 campaign. That was the big thing that he was running for. Like I said, unfortunately came up a little short. However, there is a great documentary that showcases what he went through and everything that, the trials and tribulations that he did to be able, try to be able to do this feat.
Is he a Kenyan runner?
He is a Kenyan runner, yes.
What's up with them?
What it is, honestly, they put a lot of miles on their legs before any of us. Like, by the time they're 18, like, it's something like they have 100,000 miles on their legs, but we have, like, 40,000 miles on ours or something. It's I know those numbers, like, sound odd. It's just I remember in a track camp I went to, they were talking about that they run everywhere. Like, an Ethiopian guy who was, really annoys me. I cannot remember his name because he's one of the best they ever produced. He had to run, like, 15 miles a day just to go to school. You know, like
yeah,
there and back,
skipping.
Right?
Yeah. No, I'm cool.
So yeah, they just have a lot of miles on their legs. They're built for long distances.
He's not learning how to read.
Yeah.
Yeah.
15 miles reading. I'm good. Okay.
I gotta run 15 miles so you can teach me how to read. I'm good, dude.
That's not for everyone, right there. Yes. Well, continuing down, we'll keep it a little bit. Nicer note right now. Roughly 7,000 bodies were discovered underneath the University of Mississippi college campus, where originally there was a mental institution there where they would bury their dead bodies, and roughly 7,000 of them are underneath a 20-acre stretch of the campus.
Jeez.
It's going to take approximately $21 million to dig up the bodies and rebury them, roughly $3,000 per body.
Why? Why bother?
I guess they're trying to renovate the area right now.
Oh, okay.
And
fair enough.
So, yeah, they need to, unfortunately, get rid of them properly, which I thought was kind of odd. That's kind of weird. You have 7,000 bodies laid underneath your feet as you're walking to class, you know?
Yeah.
That seems kind of sketchy.
It is Mississippi, though, right?
Right, yes.
So they're probably used to walking around everywhere they go, there's dead bodies. You know?
Yes. And yes, the Ethiopian guy I was talking about was Abibi Bikila. Yes, Abibi.
Nailed
yes.
it.
Yes.
Shout out to Abibi.
He is one of the, like, the greatest Ethiopian runners, greatest runners, long distance runners in general. So I should know that. So good on Mississippi for trying to get rid of their dead body problem.
Oh, the point he's trying to make is they had a civil war there, so.
Yes.
I don't think I finished that thought. And I was just like, oh, you're walking around dead bodies everywhere. It's Mississippi. No context at all. Because, you know, Mississippi, dead bodies. So duh.
The Civil War was fought there, obviously, over two, almost 100 years ago.
Oh, Lord. All right.
Okay.
Sorry.
And last of the news right now. I've got Richard Simmons right now is suing National Enquirer over a sex change story that they produced. Now, the National Enquirer originally stated that Richard Simmons is going to be transitioning into a female. However, Richard Simmons has flatly denied that, saying that is 100% false. He's remaining a man, and he is happy about it. So Richard Simmons, a great workout guru right there, suing National Enquirer for a false headline. Wow. I feel like that's like everyone should sue National Enquirer at some point.
I was about to say, is this a headline from today? Or like
is that a headline from National Enquirer?
Yeah. Yeah.
National Enquirer sued. Oh,
they're
yeah.
reporting it exclusively.
Yes.
All right. Very good. Thank you for that, sir.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, we need to discuss the most important topic of the show. 15 years ago yesterday, a monumental moment happened in the sports ethos.
The reason our show became around is because of this man.
The reason I'm born is because of this.
That's a lot of pressure.
Yeah. This is the reason I was conceived. But Allen Iverson did a press conference in which he discussed practice. Shout out to our man, DJ PHG, a.k.a. Grant Parks, and our GM, Rick Anderson, for giving us the name, talking about practice. It's absolutely perfect for what we do here. But here's the press conference that started it all. So let's take a look here. Some volume would be nice.
I miss practice. If a coach say I miss practice and y'all hear it, then that's that. I mean, I might have missed one practice this year. But if somebody say he doesn't come to practice, it can be one practice. Out of all the practices this year, that's enough. If I can't practice, I can't practice, man. I'm hurt. I mean, Simple as that. It ain't about that. I mean, it's not about that at all. You know what I'm saying? I mean, but it's easy to talk about. It's easy to sum it up when you just talk about practice. We sitting here, I supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. Not a game. We talking about practice. Not a game. Not the game that I go out there and die for and play every game like it's my last. Not the game. We talking about practice, man. I mean, how silly is that, man? We talking about practice. I know I'm supposed to be there. I know I'm supposed to lead by example. I know that. And I'm not shoving it aside, you know, like it don't mean anything. I know it's important. I do. I honestly do. But we talking about practice, man. What are we talking about? Practice? We talking about practice, man. We talking about practice. We ain't talking about the game. We talking about practice, man. When you come in the arena and you see me play, don't you? You see me give everything I got, right?
Absolutely.
But we talking about practice right now.
But it's an issue that you're
coming. We talking about
practice.
Man, look, I hear you. It's funny to me too. I mean, it's strange to me too. But we talking about practice, man. We're not even talking about the game, the actual game, when it matters. We talking about practice.
Amazing. And here we are 15 years later with the show called Talking About Practice. Allen Iverson was just the man. The thing I like most about Allen Iverson is the guy he is today. I don't know if you guys have seen interviews with him recently, but he just seemed completely chilled out, completely like self-aware. Someone asked him, because you know all the old guys, you ask him, oh, if you played in the league today, what you would average? And he's like, I'd probably average less because of all you can now run zone defense and stuff. I don't believe that for a second because also you can't put your hands on anyone anymore. And even when you could, no one could stay in front of Allen Iverson. So now that you can't touch people, how the hell would you guard that guy?
Yeah. You know, so many reaching calls.
Yeah, and you imagine if he's in this day's NBA, he's probably a better three-point shooter and so on and so forth. But, God, he was good, and he gave us that gem. So, I just
shouts to Allen Iverson, man. You're the king.
Yeah, and we'll definitely – I know I'll be watching the Big Three with Allen Iverson.
I honestly saw the lineup for him, and it's actually like if you grew up in the 90s or like early 2000s watching basketball, you know everyone that's playing for the most part.
Yeah.
You do. I was like, oh, man, I think I could actually get down with it.
I feel like it's like a video game I've played when I was a little kid come to life.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like those three-on-threes.
Yeah.
jumping from the three-point line,
yeah, like
dunking.
Barkley and everyone.
Yeah, except everyone's going to be washed up and not dunking.
Yeah. Exactly. That's what I'm kind of excited to see. Like, just watching, like, these guys
there's going to be some dunking. I mean, they're not that old.
Like, Corey McGetty's playing in there. You got to think you guys can still jump up there. You know?
I mean, these guys are still, like, 6'7", 6'8".
No doubt.
You know, they don't have to jump
not,
that much.
They're just over 40, if around that age.
Not to mention, I saw Dr. J dunk, like, a year ago, and I think he's, like, 70.
Yeah. So. Once you do, man, you always got it.
Big to differ there, but anyway, that's going to be a whole lot of fun. We were going to have TJ Hudson, local comedian TJ, on the show today, but something came up, schedules conflicted, and he basically backed out and left us hanging. So
thanks, TJ.
Thanks a lot, bud. I don't know. Oh, that's coming from my computer. I was like, where is this music coming from?
A little Chief Rocker for you there.
Do we want to hear the Warriors talk about a kerfuffle? Let's do that.
A kerfuffle?
A kerfuffle. He was just plotting that sentence for the longest time.
Oh, yeah. He had this on his mind for a while. So this is Allen Iverson, Steph Curry in the post game after
Kevin Durant.
What'd I say?
Allen Iverson.
Yeah. Thank you. Yes.
He wishes so bad Allen Iverson.
That would be really weird
right
if Allen Iverson was doing a post game presser with Steph Curry. Let's get into this though. They were. Oh, I'll let you hear it.
Kerfuffle at the end.
That is a word right there.
What'd you say?
Kerfuffle.
Great job, bro.
That is strong.
What happened on that Gobert kerfuffle at the end?
That is a word right there.
What'd you say?
Kerfuffle.
Great job, bro.
That is strong.
The best part about that is the great job, bro.
You guys like, yeah, you
they
really
didn't even like listen to the conversation, like what the question even was. They're like, next question. Like, yeah, awesome.
Yeah, what he said, what, a kerfluffle? Because Steph got it wrong by saying kerfuffle. And then the reporter, let's listen to this one more time, because there's a lot of things going on here. Let's listen to it one more time.
Bear kerfuffle at the end.
That is a word right there.
What'd you say?
Kerfluffle.
Great job, bro.
That is strong.
What happened on
Steph
thought it was fluffle?
Kerfluffle.
Yes,
yeah.
Kerfluffle. He got it wrong. And then the guy tries to correct him. They ignore him, railroad him. KD yells out the great job, bro. And then they take the next question, which was just magical, which brings me to my greater point. Are the Warriors still likable?
Why not?
I mean, did you see Kevin Durant got all feisty with the Jazz mascot?
Yeah, he told the mascot to get the F off the floor.
Yeah.
He called a...
He's going after Rudy Gobert a little bit.
Yeah, he called him a B and a P.
Yeah.
You
know?
And so I just don't know that the Warriors... I think looking through it through my lens is impossible because I'm obviously a Warriors fan. But I think the masses are beginning to turn. If they hadn't already, I think the masses are over this Warriors team. And so you asked how I don't remember what you
said. I'm on your side on the point that I feel like they're over them, but I feel like they're over them in the sense of the whole villain, how they first started out this season as like, oh, you know, this super team that does, you know, it's kind of just come to the point now where everyone's just like, all right, let's just see the Cavs and Warriors match up. You know, no one, I mean, if Durant wasn't on that squad, it wouldn't. I mean, I feel like it would still obviously be a big deal for the, you know, two times in a row or three times in a row for, you know, Warriors Cavs to go up against each other. But just to have Durant into that mix, it's just going to be, I just can't wait, man. It's going to be too exciting. I've already counted my chickens, if you've wondered.
Yeah.
Meaning that you guys have already won in your eyes, or you just want to see one?
I've already seen Cleveland and the Warriors both in the finals. I don't see anyone. I mean, in the beginning of the season, it was what? The Spurs, the Cavs, and the Warriors were like the three predictions of the three teams that could get to the finals.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I feel like it still kind of is that. I mean, the Spurs can...
Houston's now kind of crept themselves into that, you know.
Right, they're trying.
Yeah.
They're trying to shoot their way
into it. I think they
have
a better chance of beating the Warriors than I think the Spurs do. I think the Houston poses a better... more difficult matchup.
Right. They have better shooters, I feel like. That's what Houston's downfall is at the same time. You know, if they're not shooting well from behind the arc, if you shut down their three game, they're really kind of just looking to James Harden to create or to score. So, the Spurs have been there before. They're experienced. They have Popovich. They have, you know, top two, if not the best player in the world, in Kawhi Leonard.
Mm-hmm.
And... it's possible, but with losing the, you know, kind of certain people that they have, Tony Parker being out and trying to have, you know, just kind of, I mean, their age is getting to them. You see, you know, Aldridge, even, you know, Casal and like, David Lee. It's like
Kawhi really is like their only valid, like,
I mean, and Green, consistent. You know, him
yeah,
and Green
is good.
Are the only kind of shooters that can kind of hang there, but everyone else is kind of just looking to fall into place and pick up their, you know, hopefully 10 to 15.
They don't really have another superstar on that team. I mean, like I said, LaMarcus Aldridge was supposed to be that guy, but he's kind of, you know, he's hit his little peak and he's coming down a little bit at this point, I feel.
Right, and more towards the Warriors' point, even, you saw with two nights ago with the game, and, you know, Klay and Curry are kind of having a dismal shooting performance, and you see the exact reason why we pick up Durant. Because in those moments, you know, Durant goes off for, you know, 40 and pretty much wins us that entire game. So that's what we're going to take, hopefully, into the Spurs matchup and as well as into the Cavs matchup in the finals.
Well, and that's what I was saying at the end of last year was the issue, and it was pretty apparent in Game 7 there that the Warriors just needed someone who could go get a bucket, who could create a bucket for themselves. and I've mentioned him many times on the show. I think there is no better solution than get the guy who could get a bucket better than anyone pretty much in the world, in Kevin Durant. I mean, there's really no stopping the guy at that size, being able to have that type of shooting touch and that handle. It's just, the guy's impossible to stop. So I thought, I do think that's what, fortunately and unfortunately, right? Like, because we would like if there was, not as Warriors fans, but as just casual sports observers, we would like to have some drama along the way. Right. We would like to have some uncertainty. And I think the only uncertainty is how many games is it going to take the Warriors and the Cavs to get there? Are both of them going to be able to sweep all the way to the finals, which would be awesome. In the sense of we've never seen that before, so that would be a lot of fun to see two teams who can be that dominant go up against each other. But yeah, I just think the mystery and the excitement of who's going to be in the finals has been gone all season. So yeah. Let's just get there.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, hopefully Kelly Oubre will knock some dudes out tonight. Or are
Olenek,
they
playing? Kelly Olenek, you mean?
No, Oubre.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. All right, I thought you were talking.
No, I hope Kelly Olynyk will be the one getting knocked out.
Okay.
No offense to Kelly Olynyk. I want to see fights. I think, what else is there for us?
Right. Well, interesting, too, with the Cavs. I saw a stat on ESPN the other night saying, you know, these two sweeps is the first time since the 2001 Lakers, since we've had, like, an undefeated squad. So I'm kind of interested to see, going into that conference final, if they can kind of beat the Lakers' old record of 15-1 going to the finals.
Be interesting.
And be completely undefeated going into those finals. That would be pretty amazing.
Yeah, we'll see if it happens. It'll be interesting. It'd be cool if both teams do it, but we'll see. We have a lot more basketball to get to. Before that, I know you have your Grinds My Gears, and we need to wrap this up a couple minutes early today. So we didn't really get to mention the big baller brand and LeVar Ball and Lonzo Ball dropping the Zoe 2s. Basically, the shoes are coming out for $495. I think it's absolutely genius. Man. And I think what they're doing is just great. I like everything about it. I don't think there's any negative side to it whatsoever. But Derek, I'm sure you think there's something you hate.
I mean,
about
no. I think the what he's trying to go for, I get it. You're trying to establish a high end brand. Good luck with that. I mean, you're probably gonna have to end up signing with some, like, you know, I think Chinese company or something that doesn't get a whole lot of play here. Because I mean, when he went into his whole idea to go to, like, Adidas, Nike, Under Armour, whatnot, and, like, them forcing, like, their brand on them, I was like, okay, I know you want to be on your own. I don't even know why you set up those meetings anyway. It's probably just for show and whatnot.
Well, you got to take those meetings.
If you can.
Anytime you can meet with someone with money, you got to take the meeting, even if you know.
See, I don't like the way you set that question up, because you have me getting all bitter over here and agreeing with Derek, which usually doesn't happen.
Uh-oh.
But I'm in the same way. How do you create a designer type? You want to create, like, a designer type sneaker, and that's your logic for putting your price point on it. I get it; it's your own brand. You can put whatever price point you want on it. But coming to the, it's a. You're working in it. You know what I mean? Those shoes, sure. you're putting in work in those shoes. You don't want something that you're like, oh, I don't want to.
I mean, we talked about this last
week. Go to the bench and get some sneaker cleaner. And
there's no shoes right now that you're going to rock other than, like, from today's athletes, today's basketball players, they're going to rock outside of the basketball court. Like, when you're, you know, when you're trying to have, like, a good time or something, like go to the club or something, or looking fresh.
Yep.
You would never be rocking, like, your LeBrons out there or your Currys or something. You only rock Jordans. Jordans established a brand outside of the basketball court, you know?
Yeah, well, LeBrons are too. LeBrons are big up there. I mean,
I don't know. I don't
really see. Yeah, I mean, Kobe's got some. There's some big sneaker heads, but, I mean, you look at even the classic Michael Jordan shoes, that there's very few out there in circulation still, or the authentic, you know what I mean? Those are still, you know, very few are $400 and $500, and that's the pinnacle,
right?
And you're trying to come up. You haven't even been drafted yet,
right?
You don't even you could. I mean, knock on wood, you could tear your ACL. You could never come back from an injury and never play again.
You got two other kids to build on. I mean, okay, come on, all right.
Yeah, but then you got to change the name. How do you have the Zoes?
Still big baller brand. The Zoes. It will be like the commemorative series.
You got the Zoes, but you can't have the Mellows.
The reason I think it's genius is because, one, from what I understand, Lonzo Ball is getting 100% of the profits from shoe sales, not from the brand entirely, but from shoe sales. Also, the shoe's not going to be shipped until next November. So what they're doing is genius. They're not. They're simply taking money and making shoes to order. So they're not having these ridiculous manufacturing costs, hoping that the shoes sell. Maybe they don't. Maybe they do. Every single shoe they ordered is already spoken for and purchased.
Wow.
So I think the entire concept is genius. I hope more and more players do this and start to take the power away from these giant companies. And again, look, like we can all disagree about how LeVar Ball carries himself, which I think is kind of a mad genius clown is kind of how you would describe it. I was listening to something where Darren Revelle, the business analyst for ESPN, came out and said that due to all the attention that these shoes were getting, that the campaign would cost Nike or Under Armour or Adidas about $50 million for that much press. And they're getting it just because there's a loudmouth dad involved, which is, again, kind of mad genius clown show. But anyway,
power of social media.
Yeah, I would have liked to spend a lot more time on that topic. Maybe we get back into it next week. Maybe we could forget about it. He's also selling flip flops for $220. So
I would say, y'all, like his shirts and stuff that he has on there are all going for like 50 plus.
50, 60, yeah. 70
bucks. He needs a link up with Kanye.
Yep. So we got about a minute and a half. Can you knock one out in a minute and a half, too?
Yeah, I can do one right now.
Okay.
All right. Things that grinds my gears, guys.
For those of you who are unfamiliar.
I guess it's just thing that grinds your gear.
All right.
Thing
that grinds my gears.
You know what really grinds my gears?
The new... your ability to buy the black and yellow license plate for your car.
Oh, here we go.
Now, I talked about this with Drew a while ago. It's something that really irks at me because the black and yellow license plate, for those of you who aren't aware, if you pay a surcharge to the DMV, you're able to get a personalized license plate, and it's a black and yellow one.
Right.
And it looks really cool. If you have the proper color schemes on your car, that license plate can make it look real fire. But... that license plate, black and yellow, used to mean something. It used to mean that your car was a classic. It used to mean that it was like pre-75 or something. I can't remember the exact year range.
It was a 70s.
It was a 70s, 60s car. It was a real, it was
that
a classic car.
That license plate
car.
Was a 70s issued, right?
Yeah. My dad and I, he has a 66 Mustang that we worked on together. It's got one of those license plates on it. That car means something. That license plate means something. Now, any woo-ha can go to the DMV, pay some moon money, and now he's got a sick-ass license plate. He didn't earn. He's had to pay a little money for it. Now, you don't have an old school car. Now you got these black, brand new Range Rovers with this black and yellow license plate on it.
Couldn't you have technically gone to a pawn shop at any point and bought an old license?
No. You still have to, like, to be able to assign that license plate to your car is a completely different factor. Like, you can buy an old school license plate, but to be able to put that on your car,
is
a completely
number.
Different scheme right there. So that really just, I don't know. There's something about, like I said, that license plate, it used to mean something. And when you can give that power to anyone to get it, it doesn't mean anything anymore now.
It's nostalgia, dude. Everyone
I don't want that. Exactly. Back. Buy the car and get the actual nostalgia for it. Don't just buy the license plate and then put it on there. No. It just doesn't belong on that car. I'm sorry. That license plate stood for something. Now it's...
Well, in 20, 30 years, it'll stand for something again.
Yeah, complete. What capitalism is. If you have enough money, you can get anything you want in life. That's what it means.
And that was Derek Isumaki's.
You know what really grinds my gears?
He gets really grumpy at the end of the shows, and we have a good time with it.
I get grumpy all the time, man.
Hey, guys, you got to earn your damn license plate, you stupid millennials, being able to buy whatever you want.
Ugh,
we're not gonna have that over here. No, sir. We will not have that. That's going to do it for us. We'll be back next week. For Derek, for John, for myself. It's been real. What is playing right now? I hear PHG's voice. That was odd. Well, we'll try this again. It's been real, everybody. See you next week.
We out.
Later.
Game over, man. It's game over.
Stay tuned for the show.
Yo, this is your girl Sugar representing for Caribbean Dance Radio. You don't know. Tune in to Caribbean Dance Radio every week for the best and latest in dancehall and reggae.
I am DJ PHG, the host of Caribbean Dance Radio, inviting you to tune in every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday.
Yeah, every Tuesday.
Yeah, that's it.
From 11:30 to 12:30 p.m. right here on FM 90.1 KZFR. We've got exclusives, brand new releases, dub plates, the rhythm of the week, and of course, the champion sound of the week. Tune in at 11:30 a.m. and bring reggae into your afternoon. Find out more online at CaribbeanDanceRadio.com.
What's good, everyone? I am J-Rel with
Flipside Radio.
And I am inviting all of you to come and jam to the finest hip-hop tunes in all the land. We will be banging the best of new school and underground lyricists. Make sure you don't miss the beat of the week. And we pay homage to the old school with our throwback attack to end the show.
Real people want real music.
And that's what we bring. Every Sunday night, we send your weekend out right, starting at 11:30 p.m. So in the meantime, in between time,
I'll catch you on the flip side.
Keep it locked right here on FM 90.1 KZFR.
Game, recognize game, and you looking kind of unfamiliar right now.